know, we've made progress against our long-term goals, which is to be an elite team in the NBA that's consistently competing deep into the playoffs and ultimately for the NBA championship. So some of the signs about the progress that we've made, you know, is obviously, you know, kind of continue to be super positive about the management team that we have in place. You know, Sam, Henke, Brett, who exceeded all expectations, both exceeded expectations. Scott O'Neill, you know, and his team did a great job on the business side. And we continue to add capability that will provide long-run edge over the other 29 teams. So whether it be analytics, sports science, sleep, you know, we're starting to build processes around all the little things that are going to make our team very good. On the court, I mean, obviously, Nerlens should be discussed as Rookie of the Year. Made a lot of progress there. Joel, very, very hopeful about him competing in Summer League. And appears like his injuries are well on the way to being healed. You know, and then, you know, a number of other people who really performed exceeded expectations. You know, Sam did a great job of being opportunistic around Bob Covington, who's established himself as a real three-point shooter and NBA player to stay. You know, Grant, who, you know, we picked in the second round, has really done a great job this year. So, you know, team played better on defense, was, you know, just outside the top 10 in defense. And so kind of all this, you know, kind of long run indicators are very positive. So that's kind of my opening statement. Happy to answer whatever questions you all might have. Appreciate it. The only other thing I'd like to say is I really want to thank the city of Philadelphia and the fans for their support this year. You know, they showed up and drove. The team was, you know, notwithstanding, you know, obviously the team's record, the team was exciting to watch. It showed up, and I'm really proud of, you know, they brought it every night, did not give up. And, you know, the city appreciated that. And I think the city, you know, also understands, as we think, that we're on the way up. That, you know, the bottom is behind us and we're on the way up, and expect to get better, you know, consistently from here.
When do you think you guys can compete, start competing? When do you think, for fans that you're talking about in this city?
Yeah, so it's really hard to put a time frame on it because it kind of comes down to, it's a players' league, and so we're going to continue to try to add, you know, elite NBA players. And like we've said, you know, all along, the way you win in the NBA is to have, you know, at least two, but hopefully four, you know, top 20 NBA players. And they're hard to get. And you can get them through the draft, you can get them through trades, but they're hard to get. And you can get them through free agency, but they're also hard to get in free agency. So, you know, we're going to try to be opportunistic and bring them in. And, like, when we get them and how we get them is going to depend on when we can be in the position to compete. But we're as impatient as you are. You know, we're as impatient, more impatient as anyone in the city. Like, we want it to happen as quickly as we can, but we can't predict that.
With that said, I mean, can we see another season like this if you can't go out and get top-notch free agents where, you know, you're going to sacrifice wins again next year to do well in the draft?
We're going to do every decision we make and every move we make will be consistent with our long-run strategy, which is to grab NBA stars. And so we're going to make those decisions, you know, and we're going to do it on a, you know, with our eye on the prize, with our eye on the long run.
Does the financial health of the NBA in general make it easier to implement a plan like this? I mean, so what the Clippers go for, what the Bucks go for, the TV contract. I mean, no matter what you guys do, if people show up or don't show up, the Sixers are going to be worth more than what you guys paid for them. So does that make it easier to have a long view?
You know, when we bought the team, I mean, it, you know, when we bought the team, we did it in a way that financially we were comfortable, you know, doing it. And so, it certainly is not a negative that I think the team has increased in value, but we really bought this team to create something in Philly that, you know, that our partners, that the city, and that our families can be proud of, and that means winning. So, you know, I really think that we're positioned to invest in the team. I think certainly the NBA being healthy is helpful, but we were going to invest in the team either way when we bought it.
Josh, when we talked in September with you, you said it's going to be an exciting year, and you pointed to Nerlens Noel and to Michael Carter Williams, and now, of course, one of them is gone. How did that process go through you, like when they decided to trade him? What was your reaction to that? How did that whole process come about? And did you think maybe the organization took a little bit of a step back?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, when it comes to major player decisions, it's ultimately the front office's decision and Sam's decision, but, you know, as you might expect, we're highly interested observers and, you know, ultimately, you know, have a view. And I would say that, you know, I think sometimes when you're trying to build a winner and you're looking for elite players, you know, you have to make hard decisions. And I think Michael Carter-Williams was great, and he'll have a long career in the NBA. The high lottery pick that we, kind of got for Michael Carter-Williams, I think was consistent with our strategy, and, you know, and we, and so it was something that we were comfortable with.
Given
we did, we put a lot of work into it. It wasn't like...
But you didn't get that pick, that high pick. It's not high now.
Well, it'll depend on what happens on lottery night, but...
Right. It could be the 20th pick in the draft next year, I mean, in terms of that. So, I mean, when you talk about only having Sam, I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry, and you're the owner, you really just let him have complete say over how it operates?
No, I didn't really say that. I mean, I think, the way we run the team is similar to how I do my day job, which is... You hire the absolute best people you can find, you give them resources, and then you hold them accountable for their decisions. And that doesn't mean that they have, you know, absolute authority to do, if they're on, like the way I use a driving analogy, if they're driving on the road, you know, they can make the decision. If they drive off the road, you say no, and if they're driving, you know, if you don't like the way they're driving, you bring in someone else. But generally, that's the way that we run our companies at Apollo. That's the way I run the team. That's the way David and I run the team. So I think that's how we've been able to, I think, attract the best people. And I think that I'm highly supportive of, you know, all of the moves that are being made and very knowledgeable about them. I mean, something like that move, I mean, we spent many hours talking about it and challenging it, and that's the process that we go through. And so, that's probably the best way that I could describe how it works.
Do you think you have anybody right now on this roster that's on the verge of being the top 20 NBA player you talked about?
Yeah, I think it's early. I think I wouldn't count Nerlens out of that. I think Nerlens could be, and I think Joel could be. And, you know, I don't know, you know, who we're going to get in this year's draft. I don't know where that's going to end up, but I think that person could be also. And I don't know, like, people develop at different speeds. So I think we, you know, that, you know, who knows, but.
Given the potential implications with the Miami pick, do you want the Sixers to win tonight?
You know, we go into, when we made all these decisions, we made them in we assessed expected value and probabilities, and we tried to make, thoughtful decisions that were consistent with our long-run strategy. And we did that knowing full well that the picks could convey this season or next season. And so, you know, truthfully, either way, we're going to end up with the picks. And I don't spend a lot of time kind of thinking about things that I can't control. We're going to go in and, you know, play hard and try to win this game. And The picks will either convert or they won't convert, and we own them either way. And as Sam has shown, going into trade deadlines and drafts, you know, he's shown the willingness and the ability to be opportunistic with picks. And so picks can be moved for players. Picks can be moved for other picks. And so I don't know that, you know, I think the Lakers pick is an important thing that we control and own, and whether it's convey, you know, or the Miami pick, whether it conveys this season or next season, I think it's there either way.
Josh, you called last season a huge success. How would you characterize this year?
I think we made progress against our goals.
Mm-hmm. What were the goals then?
Our goal is the same. I mean, it's not, and it's not going to change. It's to build an elite and winning team here in Philly that's consistently deep in the playoffs and ultimately winning the NBA championship. So I think we made progress against that goal.
Josh, when Brett took this job, he was clear with us, saying he knew he was going to take his hits, and he's taken them in 2 years. Do you ever worry that he's taken more hits than he even expected, and then how the future might relate to that with him?
No, I don't. I mean, I spend, you know, a bunch of time with Brett, and I think that he, you know, he is great at what he does, and I think he loves what he does. He's passionate about what he does. I think he's done a great job developing the team and keeping the team together and making them bring it every night. And so I think he's excited to be here, and he believes in what we're doing.
He's in year two of a four-year contract. If next year you lose 60 or even 50 games in proving your own, can you give a coach whose winning percentage might be around 20 or 30% an extension? Because I wouldn't assume you'd want him to go into a fourth year as a lame duck if you're happy with what he's doing.
Yeah, we're all kind of focused on the same thing, which is developing the team and the talent over the long run. And I'm very happy with what Brett's doing. And we haven't started any of those dialogues, but it's certainly not out of the question either.
How many players would you expect to be back next year? Because part of development is consistency. So you've talked about it, it's being a better defensive team this year, but if you bring in a whole slew of different players next year, it's almost starting over again, because you're giving guys with trying to teach them a new philosophy.
Yeah, I don't really think it. First of all, you know, we have a draft coming up where we have at least six picks. We have free agency. We have summer league, so there's a lot of things between now and then. It's very hard to say how many players will come back, and that's probably something you should ask the front office more than me. But I think ultimately, I don't. I think we're building the culture, the process, the system. I think it's all working. It's all kind of sustaining, and I think a little bit of change is not going to hurt it.
Do you anticipate being active in free agency this summer?
I think we're all, again, like, we're going to be super opportunistic and open to the draft and free agency, and we're going to talk to everyone and try to make very good decisions that are consistent with our long-run goals.
What's your position on cap smoothing?
You know, that's an issue that the league, that I'd rather the league speak to.
Michelle Robertson said that the owner, she used the term un-American for the owners who have done so well in private business to try to artificially deflate the earning potential of players.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of complicated discussions going on between the league and the players' union, and I think it's just way better for us to speak with one voice, which is Adam Silver's voice. So I'll probably just leave that for him.
How much do you want to be competitive next year? I mean, I know, you know, it's a process and you have a ways to go, but how much would you want to be better, or at least sort of see on-court group developing?
Yeah, like, so I'm competitive in everything I do, and I love winning, and it's, you know, a big part of why I'm here. But I think we're on a course you know, we have a strategy. I don't think there's any shortcuts. There's like 29 other owners that want to do the same thing you do. So I think we have to keep our eye on, you know, kind of making decisions that are consistent with our long run strategy.
One of the big things we talked about in this development was the new practice facility. Just where might we be on that, and are we looking years down the road? Is it delayed? Is it on target?
Yeah, so the new practice facility is on target. It's going to be the largest and nicest practice facility in the NBA. Dirt is moving. Plans are kind of being drawn and redrawn and redrawn, unfortunately. There's a lot of effort going in from everyone, and you know, we're still shooting to have it open for the start of the season after this season. You know, obviously construction projects are, some of us, I know I have been involved in construction projects, and there's a lot of moving pieces, but you know, so far we're on target.
When the league tried to pass lottery reform, did you take that as an indictment of what's happened here so far, and are you worried that they'll try to do it again?
When the league when the lottery reform issue came up, I mean, I sort of did what I thought was in the best interest of the city of Philadelphia and the Sixers, and I was, you know, vocal about you know, my position on that, and I tried to balance that against, you know, kind of trying to do what was best for the league. And so I think that's how I handled the last discussion on lottery reform. And again, the league I know is always thinking about how to make itself better and how to make its process better, and I'm not sure what they're gonna do.
It looked for a second though that the lottery reform was going to go through, and at the last hour it changed. What was your pitch to help convince the other owners that this was not in their best interest?
Yeah, I mean, again, I ultimately there was a group decision to, you know, to keep the system the same, and you know, probably just leave it at that.
How close are you acquiring Crystal Palace? Is that
you know, we really don't like it's, you know, when you're in the when you do transactions and you're in the M&A business, as a general rule, you don't really comment on any transactions that aren't completed and announced. So I'd have to sort of use that comment really on any speculative sports transaction.
When you say you feel that the city is coming, the fans are comfortable with what you're doing, this year you're last in the league in attendance, last year second last, and you've been at under 70% capacity for the last two seasons. How does that relate to, are you comfortable, again, if that happens next year, you're only averaging about 14,500?
You know, I mean, obviously we would, we're working very, very hard to get the attendance up here, and we think generally that, you know, we've been supported by the city, and we still have some work to do in that regard, and, you know, certainly, you know, I think the fans are generally taking a long-term perspective, but, you know, people are human, and, you know, I'm sure if we were winning 60 games, the place would be sold out. And, but I'm very happy with, you know, both the job that has been done by our team to, you know, both on the court and off the court to make this an exciting place to be. And, I think we'll continue to make progress.
Wins have to translate soon. How far, at what point do you say, let's pick another driver, or how long does your organization have where you might think about switching up what you're doing and your plan of success?
Yeah, I just don't think we're there yet. I mean, I think you'll, you know, I think over time, the team will just start, you know, will tell you, the team will play itself. You know, we're going to continue to add, you know, great players and the best players we can, and really make sure that they're well coached and well conditioned and ready to play and excited to be part of our organization and to bring it. And then they're going to ultimately answer that question themselves. So
you have no time frame in your head where you want to start seeing
I mean, my time frame is as soon as possible. But I think, again, you know, I do believe that, you know, taking your eye off of making decisions which will add the best players over time will not result in, you know, achieving our goal. So I don't want to set an artificial time on it.
Has anything deviated for better or for worse from the plan Sam laid out to you to fix his franchise?
I mean, I'd say if anything, Sam is moving along well. I think if you look at the decisions that Sam has made, if you look at taking Nerlens fifth, if you look at taking Michael Carter Williams, I believe 12th, who was Rookie of the Year, if you look at Grant 39th, if you look at getting Covington, if you look at how Dario Saric is playing in the European League, and we ultimately have his rights, if you look at the progress of Joel Embiid, I think Sam's eye for players, I mean, it's not a huge amount of data. We need to look at more decisions, but you know, the decisions that he's made have been wise and good. So, you know, if you look at some of the trades he's made relative to, moving back from 10 to 12 last year and ending up with a first and a second on top of that. Those are, in my opinion, wise trades, wise moves, wise player decisions. You have to remember where we started. We were not in a tremendously good place. So I think if anything, and if you look at Brett and how he's performed, he's kept the team together. He's made them play hard. He's developed people. He's improved, you know, the way we play defense. You know, he's made, you know, certain players, you know, we are now shooting way better, 3-point percentages. So again, if I look at what's going on, I mean, my view is I have more conviction, not less.
Jeff, more conviction. Atlanta or in Golden State, you obviously have gotten there quicker. Does it make you at least look and say we could do it faster if we made some adjustments?
If there's anything we can do that's consistent with our goals to make it faster, we're going to make it faster. I don't think that, you know, comparing Atlanta and Golden State to Philly, the three wholly different situations, and but just, you know, if there's anything we can do to make it faster, we're going to make it faster. But, if you know, we're willing to, there aren't any shortcuts, unfortunately, that I know of. There are shortcuts to the middle. No, there's not shortcuts to the top. There's not.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, thank you.
Coach will be available in about 3 minutes, and then Nerlens will be available pregame for you guys.
See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. In the locker room?
Yeah. Yep. Right at his locker.
I see. Sorry.